Grow and Chill with Noel Clark and Johanna James on FUBAR Radio.
We're about to speak to the Emmy Award-winning film and television stage veteran actor, Joe Morton. Where are you in the world at the moment, Joe?
I'm in the Marina Del Rey in California.
Cali.
Marina Del Rey. I shot Star Trek Into Darkness out there. Very nice area.
Is that right?
Yeah, really nice white beach, yeah. I was the first 10 minutes that blew up everything before Benedict came and took everything over.
So, Joe, one of the most watched television shows is Scandal.
And you played the nefarious Rowan.
How did you get involved with Scandal at the very, very beginning?
No, season two. I'm assuming as an actor, is an audition, or were you offered the role originally?
It's a very funny story. I came out to L.A. for pilot season. I had, of course, heard of Scandal, but never had an occasion to watch it. Watched the first season on Netflix. After seeing it, just fell in love with it. Thought, oh, this would be wonderful. I could figure out a way to get on the show for an episode or two.
Yeah.
And before I even had a chance to talk to my agent or my manager about trying to do that, I got a call from them saying that Scandal wanted to talk to me about coming onto the show.
Nice.
And when I spoke to producer Scandal, they made it clear that if I decided to take the role, that at the end of season two, the last two lines would be, "Hello, Olivia. Hi, Dad." And I said, "Yes, that sounds great. I'll take a job."
Wow. Fantastic.
Oh, my God.
Fantastic. You, sir, are also, in my eyes, not just because of Scandal and your wonderful career, but you're a legend because you are also in the Terminator films, which I happen to love from when I was a child. What was it like for you back then? Did you know those films, or that film in particular, T2, was going to be as big as it was?
Well, if you remember, the first Terminator film was rather a low-budget film.
Mm. Yeah.
It did very, very well. So Terminator 2 was, for James at that point, a very large step up. I was absolutely excited to be part of it, to work both with Arnold and Linda. So it was enormously exciting. Very big difference for me. I mean, I had done John Sayles movies in the past,
yeah,
which were, again, low-budget films, so I had never been around that kind of size and that kind of money in terms of film before.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Was it one of those ones where the catering budget was bigger than some of the budgets of the movies you'd previously been on? I've been there a couple of times.
Yeah, I think probably their catering budget was probably as large as what one of John Sayles' movies cost. Hey, James did things like he would, before we finished my death scene, he actually went sort of, because you remember at the end, after I died, Linda sort of scoots across the floor and they start shooting at her and all the windows get blown out.
Yes.
So he blew out the windows long before he decided to shoot that scene, just to see what it would look like. And I had never been around a cloud for that kind of stuff.
Yeah, crazy. That's crazy times, man. And he still does that with stuff like Avatar, just huge, absolutely monster-sized movies. And a couple of years ago, you won an Emmy. What was that feeling like, to go up on stage and after having such a stellar career anyway? I know you don't define your career by awards, but how did it feel to actually be recognized by people at that stage?
It's a very exciting thing when it happens. I was more than happy just to receive the nomination.
Yeah.
So to win the actual award was just tremendous. Very surprising. I mean, I'd only been on the show for one season and six episodes, so for all that to happen that quickly, I thought was astonishing. It was a lot to take in for a while. I don't know if you ever saw it, but we put out a picture the following day on Twitter of me in bed.
Oh, yeah, no, I've seen it. It's in front of me right now. I've got the picture in front of me right now. And so it may have been surprising to you. You deserved it.
I actually had the statue on dining room table from the night before, and I got up following morning, went into the dining room just to make sure that it had really happened. And then my girlfriend said, "Oh, that's a good idea. Why don't you just get back in bed with the award? We'll take a picture." And that's where that came from.
Fantastic. It's a great picture. And so it may have been surprising to you, but it wasn't surprising to us. You definitely deserved that, I have to say.
Well, thank you.
Thank you so much, Joe, for calling in. Hope you have a lovely day. Rest of the day. Not sure what time it is
thank
in
you,
California.
Sir. And continue being an inspiration for all of us. You are a genius.
Thank you.
Back Row and Chill with Noel Clark and Johanna James on FUBAR Radio.
Leanne Elms is in the house.
Hi, how's it going?
Hi, babes. Welcome to the show.
Oh, it's all very excited.
So you are a comedian.
I am, yeah. Trying, always trying.
Where did you start? Where can people find you?
Oh, I started when I popped out the womb. I was always quite a funny child.
I bet you did. I bet you popped out a joke.
Thank you.
But yeah, a bump.
Absolutely. Very special child, apparently. Very special. Yeah, so I just went to drama school. Went to drama school, did an intense 3 years, well excited, did what I loved every day, came out, nothing there.
Nothing happened.
Jesus, what am I going to do in my life? Did a few bits and bobs, opened theatre school, became a producer for the Wall of Comedy. Big up the Wall of Comedy, brap, brap.
Yep, Wall of Comedy guy.
Follow them. Joanne Way, Purcell Ascot. And then, started doing stand-up comedy and a bit of social media influencing, making some funny sketches and making a twat out of myself.
Great. Well, that's what we're all professional twats.
Absolutely.
Basically.
Such twats in here.
Which is great. And so what made you go, I'm going to get up on stage and say jokes?
So it was when I was working with the Wall of Comedy, actually. They brought out this Wall of Comedy stand-up live. I was actually producing for them. Javan, one of my managers at the time, said to me, Leanne, you should get up and do this. And I was like, all right then. So I did. I put a sketch together, I put a little bit together, and it went really well. And I got a standing ovation.
Yes, queen!
I couldn't believe it. It was crazy. And then I went and did another one the second week with Axel Blake at his Club Tropicana, and I got booed off. So it can go one way or the other is what I'm trying to say here.
Oh, gosh. What's great is that after that booing session, you've just continued to...
I've just continued, yeah. I was like, shove it up your pumpalumpas, I'm getting back up.
Shove it up that pumpalumpa.
Shove it up your...
We invented a word called pumpalumpa.
Good.
So it's another word for vagine, for vagina. It's your pumpalumpa.
Vagina.
Actually, while we're talking about vaginas, because there's a lot of vaginas here, what was like your pet word for it? Or like when you were a kid, like did you call it vagina?
Vagina!
But did you call it anything else? Because I didn't call it a vagina.
Mine was a flower. A ripe petal.
Your ripe petal.
My ripe petal.
What did you call yours?
No, but I spoke Hebrew.
Oh. What's vagina in Hebrew?
Pot.
Pot, like a pot.
like a flower pot. A flower petal and a pot. Yeah. Okay. Oh my god.
My flower petal is in your pot.
My girls have a tendency to call it a nunny.
A nunny?
A nunny.
Yeah, nunny.
I don't even know why they say that. Like, I use the word vagina. I say vagina, but they seem to refer it as nunny.
My mum asked me what I want to call it.
Oh.
What did she say? She went...
Name your vagina.
Yeah, she was like, well, what do you want to call it? And I remember, she said, I looked at the back, and I went, front bottom?
Front bottom.
Oh,
front peach, front peach.
Because I was like, it just looks like the back of the front. Made sense.
So I got these pair of pleather trousers.
Yeah.
But, you know, in the heat, sometimes it's nice to wear them on a nice, cool summer's day. But when that sun comes out a little bit stronger, when you're least expecting it, and you just sort of pull them down to go for a quick wee, and then you can't get them back up. But luckily, I always carry talcum powder.
Just luckily I've got a bag of it in my bag.
I always carry talcum powder, you know, just for a casual chafe. So I think, you know, to just give that talcum powder a little squirt down those pleathers.
And that's it.
And up they come, you know. As I was walking, it was like dripping sort of a cocaine-type substance out the bottom of my leg. As I was walking, it was like Hansel and Gretel, you know, finally Anne. There she is, follow the cocaine.
Imagine if you forgot that you'd, like, talked earlier and then, you know, some gentleman removes your pants. And he gets poofed in the face by a cloud of talc.
Well, I mean, it's actually got quite a nice scent to it.
Yeah, it does.
You're like almost a fairy.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
Fairy dust.
There you go.
Fairy dust.
Fanny dust out of your vagina.
Devil child.
Fanny dust.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. I feel like if I put that down there, it might sneeze.
Oh, Jesus. You need to do some more pelvic floor space.
I really do. Like, we went trampolining this year, a bunch of mates, and it's the first time I've been properly trampolining in about, what, 7-8 years. All of us, all of the ladies, went, whoa, there is some serious bladder. I nearly peed myself a few times, and I was like, whoa.
Do you know what? That happens a lot. I'm actually quite concerned about my pelvic floors at the moment. I mean, it's uncomfortable. I've been doing them. I'm actually doing them now, sitting here. I'm actually doing them. I'm really sort of pulling up. You know, the other day I laughed quite hard. I mean, and just a little bit of weak.
Yeah.
Can happen.
I cross my legs when I laugh now. Like, it's a mess. That's how you know if a mom or no, when she laughs, we cross our legs. Really? It's for real.
But like, I mean, I heard this stuff. And like, when you get older, you know, bladder's weaker, blah, blah, blah. And I thought, you just feel like I used to do gymnastics. So I was used to my body being able to do things. And now I can't do them.
Yeah.
I'm like, I can do the split. No, I can't. It's all getting stiff. I woke up this morning with like a frozen shoulder. I didn't know what I did.
I'm so glad you said that. That happens to me on a regular. No, it does. Like, I'm in the shower the other day and I was just there and I was like, oh, God, that's really quite painful. Just tilting my neck, trying to do the old pat the dog.
Yeah.
oh, the pain, yeah. All of my muscles. I think it might be partly to do with not sort of intaking any exercise whatsoever.
Exactly.
Get my kids complaining about stuff like that, like old ladies, yeah. And they're 7 and 5. Like, how is this possible? You're yeah. new. Isn't Your it? Body's new.
My dog said to me the other day, don't come on. We're going to go swimming. I was like, honestly, I couldn't think of anything. Adult, you need to go. You need to go. Do it for yourself, all right? Don't do it for anyone else, for you. I was like, but if I come, I'm actually going to be doing it for you because I don't want to go.
I don't want to move, Dad.
I just want to eat a chocolate brownie.
Yeah. Maybe that's how you go swimming. Just get somebody, put it on yeah. a float.
Right behind of you.
And you can just chase it up and down.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah. There's motivation. I'm not motivated to exercise, really, unless, you know, I know I'm going to be naked at some point. So. Yeah. With guests, and then I'm
is
like,
"Is that why the heating's on?" By the way,
oh, it's very hot in here,
isn't it? She's trying to get us naked.
Oh my god,
it's so hot! I'm perspiring from every
You're
crevice.
Sitting right underneath it.
No, I turned the aircon off, and I think I broke it. Put it back on, and it's putting out heat.
Leanne,
I would love you to do the rap.
I've got a little rap
she's
going
got
on.
A little rap that she's going to do.
Boom, boom, rap, rap.
Absolutely. Your other online alter ego, I'm going to say, is a girl called Lil T.
Lil T. Big up, brap, brap.
And we've done quite a few hilarious music videos.
Yeah, we've done a few.
Musical
yeah.
parody. So, this track, what's this track called?
This is called The Donut Anthem.
The Donut Anthem, which is quite fitting from what we're talking about today.
Food.
With, like, food, body confidence.
Flaps.
Yeah, flaps, everything.
What's that lyric?
A belly in the front, body in the back.
Yes. That's the one. Right, so Tovi, you're in for a treat here. You're yeah. going to get an actual live rendition.
I'm actually quite nervous.
I'm going to film this.
I made this wrap up and had it produced, etc., because I love food. And when I bought my first wrap out, there was a lot of trolls. It did really well. It hit 1.5 million views. It did really well. But most of those comments were really horrible. I've been told, you know, don't worry about the nasty comments. It's exposure that matters. All right. One of the comments was, oh my God, like, do you know what I mean? All that money you're getting from making that video, you should totally go and buy a gym membership. And then there were a few more that came in. And in the end, I was like, all right, that's it. In my next one, I'm just going to eat donuts.
Yeah.
And I'm going to make one up about being just a little bit porky.
And this is what happened. This is the baby. So, okay, right, Lil T, take it away.
Ooh. Let's go. Big up all my secret eaters and all my midnight feasters. Shout out Greg's and shout out every independent bakery inside the manor. Lil T's back with a brand new track and she's dropping bars. Let's go. Belly in the front, batty in the back. Another KFC and your thighs go whack. Batty in the back, tummy in the front. In between your minge and your belly is the gun. When you get down to the gym, cause you're trying to get all thin. When all you really want is a donut, but you're gonna crack down with some spin. Yeah, Lil T's got the entire selection. Never gonna beat her donut collection. If you wanna beat her, take a little seat. Yeah, never gonna happen cause you know you ain't got shit. Yeah, batty in the front, batty in the back. Another KFC and your thighs go whack. Batty in the back, tummy in the front. Here we go. Yo, Lil T's got the entire selection. Never gonna beat her donut collection. If you wanna beat her, take a little seat. Yeah, never gonna happen cause you know you ain't got shit. Yeah, belly in the front, batty in the back. Another KFC and your thighs go whack. Batty in the back, tummy in the front. In between the minge and the belly is a gun. Yo, up for the bit of break dancing. On the stage with the mats and ting. Oh, spinning go round like a bling bling bling. Let's go. Oh yeah, not really. Everyone in it is cheering for me. Even my mum and my dad. Look over there, my whole family. Dry hump stepper and a spoonie. Out in the back is a juicy. Sorry, mate, you're a bit lonely. Let's go. From the front to the back, your family. The lililility grip personality. I'm environmental, temperamental, sentimental, sentimental. Meh, meh. Sentimental. Some say I'm mini-mini-mental. Belly in the front, batty in the back. Another KFC and your thighs go whack. Batty in the back, tummy in the front. In between your minge and your belly is a gun. Yo, Lil G's got the entire selector. Never gonna catch her, never gonna better her. If you wanna beat her, take a little seat. Yeah, never gonna happen cause you know you ain't got eyes. Said Lil G's got the entire selector. Never gonna catch her, never gonna better her. If you wanna beat her, take a little seat. Yeah, never gonna happen cause you know you ain't got shit. Yeah. That's right. Big up all my secret eaters and all my midnight feasters. This is the donut anthem. Charlie Sloth, hear me now. Fire in the booth. Get me on there. Brop, pop, pop. Hup, 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 hup. hey, 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 hep, hep, ba da ba da ba boy.
Amazing!
Oh my god! Oh my god.
What a talented chicken!
Oh, they're doing it again!
Oh, they're clapping me!
That was an encore!
I forgot half the lyrics, but don't worry, we continued.
That's
really,
that was brilliant.
Thank you.
That's my gym song. Nothing
so
better.
So good.
I really want a donut now, though.
I really want a donut.
Want me chocolate in the middle.
You're going to do it properly.
Back Row and Chill with Noel Clark and Johanna James on Fubar Radio.
So Doc Brown's here.
Doc Brown, guys.
That's the third voice you're hearing, guys.
Doc Brown, yeah.
I'm having some much needed respite. It was kind of a couple of years there of not really resting at all, I guess, because, you know, when opportunities come your way in our business and you know how that period of time that your candle might burn, you know, I've been going for it. Yeah, I got off like the press junket for Ricky Gervais's film.
And did you guys tour? Where did you tour?
We just did everywhere, but we didn't have to travel everywhere. So a lot of people came to London.
So you didn't get to go to Japan or anything?
No. We dealt with all the press, but most people came to Soho Hotel.
See, I think
Hotel.
We're losing out, Doc, because, you know, Arnold Ochin.
Yes.
You know, he did The Good Life. And he toured the world. I don't know why we can't tour the world. Like, he's in Japan, places where they don't even have black people, and Arnold was there.
That's very true. If you speak to most actors, they would tell you that that's the real sort of graft of the job that they don't necessarily look forward to, you know. But, you know, these days you're contracted to that the same way you're, as you're contracted to act in the flipping
film.
I've
got three kids. I look forward to it.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I know that. I know that, and I hear that. The one thing I learned from it, because it's the first time I've ever done it, is that if the film is good, that job is a hell of a lot easier. Because there were some days where I wasn't even sure if I was saying the same thing twice to the same interviewer, because you were doing like 10, 15 in a row.
Yeah.
And I just thought, wow, imagine if the film was shit. Mm. Like, that must be so hard. And that must happen every day to actors.
The listeners, like, so when Doc just said we do 10 to 15 interviews in a row, we're talking about literally, because people don't know this, we literally sit in a room and people come in back to back.
Yeah. Back to back. The biggest break you'll get is when someone will go, do you want any more water?
So, or if you need to go to the toilet.
Yeah, and sometimes you don't even have time for that.
And here's the interesting thing. Most of these people come in and they go, you've probably heard this all day. I've got a really original question, though. And they ask the same damn questions that we've been asked all day long. Am I lying?
That's very, very true. And I think anytime someone just comes out of left field with a question, they get the best interview. And it really makes me laugh listening to interviews or pre-records with other actors, other artists. And then when it comes back to the studio live, the host will say something along the lines of, oh yeah, I think he was a bit jet lagged. He wasn't very responsive. And I'm thinking, I'm sat there listening at home thinking, yeah, but your questions were so boring. You've been hearing the same shit all day.
I'm just breaking my chair.
I was just trashing the studio.
I am listening.
Right,
but
you know what I'm saying? Like, if you want to get the best out of an artist, then engage them. There's a film show on, there's a film show on Five Live, Simon Mayo and Mark Kermode.
I quite like them, though.
And I take, well, they're big fans of you, man.
I love them,
they're
actually
big fans
Mark
of you.
Mark Kermode is my G.
I mean, he bigs you up regular. When Simon's away, I take his place. The last time I was on it, I interviewed Ben Kingsley. So I was part of that junket, the other side. And I could see what the other interviewers are doing. And I just thought, I'm just like, because the BBC was saying, this is what you should say, this is what you shouldn't say. And I was like, you know what? Let me do it my way. Yeah, I just feel like, I don't know the guy, but I feel like I can engage him.
Yeah, and you did.
So number one, I'm not going to call him Sir Ben. I'm just going to chat to him. And they were like, ooh, I don't know. And I was like,
did you go, yo, Benny?
Benny.
Hey, yo, BK.
You know what? I just, obviously, I bigged up his movie. I'd seen it. So I thought, yeah, you know what? It's a decent movie, so I don't have to lie. So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
So I bigged up the movie, got him on side. I did a bit of research on him. I didn't realize he was of mixed parentage, you know.
Yes.
So I said, you know what, like, I've found, like, as an actor, having a mixture of cultures in my family has informed me on, like, it's given me, I don't want to say a universal voice, but it's made me open me up from a young age to very different experiences, which I think has informed my skills as an actor. What do you think about that, coming from a biracial background? Yeah. You should have seen his eyes lit up.
Yeah.
His eyes just lit up and he was fully engaged. And then from that point on in the interview, I swear down, he goes, the thing about you and I, Ben, the thing about people like us is we are social chameleons. The thing about you and I, people like me, people like you.
I was like,
no one's getting this interview
of
today.
Of course not.
Nobody. I'm very proud of it. But you know, it just goes to show.
Yeah.
One small thing. saying that's just sort of off, just out of left field, you're going to engage her.
You know, Johanna does that, and we often try to educate our young listeners, well, not young, but our listeners, that a lot of them want to get into the business.
Yeah.
If you ever become someone who's interviewing talent, always look for a different angle. Don't just go in with the same questions. Try and, you know, like Doc just said there, he found a way to engage Ben Kingsley and probably got the best interview out of everyone. And I think it's not just a cynical thing of just trying to get the best interview. That should be standard practice anyway. It's about just trying to be interested and understand that these people could have had 20 or 30 people in that.
And also think genuinely about a conversation that you would be interested in.
Yeah.
Like if you think about when you see your mates, you're not going to ask them the same stuff.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You're going to want a fresh, interesting conversation every time you see your mates. So
hey, Bill,
think about it like
that. How was that packet of crisps, Bill? Well, John just asked me that. Well, I'm asking you again, just
aren't. I find hiding alcohol in my underwear, that always is a nice icebreaker for my interviews.
Yeah.
I don't have any right now.
She says.
There we go. Whiskey.
Are we talking like airplane miniatures here?
Yeah, kind of like been my little thing when I do junkets. If I'm interviewing celebrities, I'll like whip out just to break the ice. Yeah, just do something completely wacky.
That would,
and it works.
Yeah.
She's got that down. You've been doing pretty well with that, actually.
Yeah, I've been doing a couple. Or do like Freudian slips or things like that. So it's quite fun.
Because they're always like, did she just
wake him up a bit?
Or people, they think I look quite, you know, nice and innocent, and then I'll just like, I went in, my first ever interview was with Marlon Wayans for 50 Shades of Black, and like I went in and was like, hello, hello, and I thought he was like great, another, you know, interview, and I was like, so 50 Shades of Grey was good, is Black better? And then he looked at it and then went, I see where we're going. And then, like, our interview just went off on another level. We've had a lot of emails coming in being like, oh my gosh, Noel and Doc together, this has been my dream.
Oh, yeah, I've seen it.
It's amazing. Can you guys work together? Amazing.
Martha in Labrador Grove. Yeah, Martha.
We're just going to take a second.
What kind of dream, Martha? What kind of dream? That's what I want to know.
I bet you want to know. This is Cards Against Humanity. It's one of the best, like, pub games or anything. It's a game of wit. I'm just going to test your wit and see how funny you are, because you guys both write comedy, so let's see who's funniest.
I don't write comedy.
That's not how it's described. Noel Clarke, but yeah.
I don't write comedy. So it's white cards and black cards. I'm going to go first round. So normally, you person who plays the black cards, it's the first person who pooped that day. But we're going to forget that, and I'm going to just
poop.
It's the actual rules of the game.
I don't play shit.
And then what am I supposed to do?
So the point is, for example, I will read a black card, which is normally a statement, and on the white cards, you have got funny answers.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm going to read out a statement. We'll do a mock one, which is in the new Disney Channel original movie, Hannah Montana struggles with blank for the first time, and you guys have got to look through your cards, find what you think is the funniest filler.
I see. Okay. So
you hand
look
it
at
to me.
These.
Yeah, I read it out, and then whoever I think wins the funniest answer.
I can look at these. Oh,
I didn't realize I could look.
Yeah,
at
you
all
can
of
look.
Them.
You can
okay,
look.
Great.
I'll pull out another black card.
I've laid out mine. I've got 10 here.
Yeah, I'm laying them out now.
But this is the first one. Ready?
Yes.
So instead of coal, Santa now gives the bad children blank.
I'd go for horse meat. Oh, I give it to you, do
yeah,
I?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There you go.
And then hand me yours. Instead of coal, Santa now gives the bad children horse meat. Or instead of coal, Santa now gives the children a middle-aged man on roller skates.
That's easily that
okay.
one.
Okay. No, you win that first round.
I thought I might.
No.
With that one.
Okay. What's there a ton of in heaven?
I'm liking this game.
I'm going to go for
it's
that
so
one.
Funny. Okay, so what's there a ton of in heaven? Authentic Mexican cuisine. What's there a ton of in heaven? An erection that lasts for longer than 4 hours.
That's even harder to come by.
I think the erection is going to win that round.
You
got a round each. Well done, well
okay,
done.
Okay, awesome.
What helps Obama unwind? Yeah, I'm not looking what it is.
This is kind of more political than it is funny. But
okay. What helps Obama unwind? Sexy pillow fights.
Okay.
What helps Obama unwind? Not giving a shit about the third world.
Political, see?
Okay, no wins that one.
It is
with
easier.
A low blow.
It is easier.
What gets better with age?
Oh, man, this is disgusting.
Is it? I'm laughing already. I don't even know what it is. Okay.
My one is technically true, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
mine is 100% not true, and anyone who agrees with it needs to see a doctor.
What gets better with age? Child beauty pageants.
That's class.
That's dark, though.
It's dark, but class.
What gets better with age? Concealing a boner.
It does.
They're both true.
It's not like the old days where you get up halfway through your lesson in class and it's just there.
But I used to be able to hang a wet beach towel on my shit now. Now it just drops to the ground. Like,
I know. I feel it.
I bet you do.
Seriously. What would grandma find disturbing yet oddly charming? Goblins.
Yeah.
What would grandma find disturbing yet oddly charming? The clitoris.
Yeah. I bet grandma's never found that shit.
Depends when she was born.
If she's born before 1970,
if she's one of those hood grannies from now where she's like 37.
Oh, yeah, she knows what that is
all about. It.
When I first played this game, I played it with my younger brother, and we all played it, and he got that, and he went, "What's the clitoris?"
This is a problem. How old is your brother?
He was about 17 at the time.
This is a problem, you see. You young boys don't know where the details are.
The goods are.
Mm. Yeah.
You gotta research that.
Old man like me can take your girl.
I can't say that I knew when I was 17.
Of course you did. Come on, Doc.
I can't say that I knew.
I don't know.
Yeah, man, I knew. My mum was a nurse. I'd be reading them anatomy books when she's at work.
Nice. I had a book in my house that was called The Breast, but there was nothing about the clitoris in there. It was very scientific.
Now, my mum, as soon as she's, "I'm going to work, darling." All right, mum, bam, anatomy book.
Yeah, no, I was the same with the breast.
That's quite a shame that all you had was a little scientific.
No, I also had the Littlewoods catalogue.
Okay, yes, fine, I had the next catalogue.
Yeah.
The underwear section.
Boom, yeah. Oh my gosh. There used to be this girl in there and she had these pubes and you could see them through her pants and everything. And I used to go nuts, man.
Such an innocent time when you think about
it.
You know what I mean?
It was so innocent.
The Littlewoods catalogue.
Yeah.
Early masturbation with Doc Brown, No Clark.
Yes.
Tune in next week.
Back row and chill with Noel Clark and Johanna James on FUBAR Radio.
We've got a full studio of co-hosts today. I'm so happy, guys. We've got Comic Consultant in the studio. Do you guys want to say hi?
Hey, guys.
Let's go around the circle. Let's have circle time. Who are we?
Hey, it's Michael Adji, Comic Consultant, on the mic.
It's none other than Yao Buzio, one third of Comic Consultant.
And Shai Delor.
The other third.
Yeah, the other third.
Today, can I be an honorary member?
Oh, yeah, you can be the League of Consultants.
Yes.
Of course.
Okay, great. Where can people find you?
They can find us on Facebook. We've got a Facebook page called Comic Consultants. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram. It's at Comic Consults.
Correct.
Okay.
That's pretty much it.
Okay, Michael, tell us what Comic Consultant is.
Yeah, let them know.
Well, basically, I'm the Comic Consultant, and I'm your guide through the comic verse.
So you're like the guru. So we can ask questions.
Apparently so, yeah.
What's the best comic?
What's the best comic? It depends. It varies. At the moment, I would recommend Boom Studios' Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
We're loving the Power Rangers
and
today.
And Sabian's Go-Go Power Rangers from Boom Studios as well. That is a good run. That's where Lord Drakon is.
Do most people look at comics online now, like digital comics? Or do you still get them in print?
You can get them in print. There's various comic book stores.
But I like paper. I like feeling the paper, smelling the paper.
In central London, there's about 3 comic book stores. There's Gosh Comics, there's Forbidden Planet, and also, last but not least, Orbital Comics. In Camden, there's Mega City Comics. In Croydon, there is A Place in Space and Forbidden Planet there as well.
Weird.
If you want to read it digitally, you can go to Comixology or the particular publisher's app as well.
Do you guys have a YouTube as well?
We do, actually.
Yeah.
What's your favourite social media platform to make content for?
Facebook.
Yeah, for me right now it's Facebook. It started off as YouTube, but they went left, didn't it?
Yeah.
I'm controversial like that, so I'll say it.
You guys
have
gone to
DCT. Favorite is Facebook/Instagram. Mm-hmm. They can reach us on all platforms, actually. They can reach us on Facebook mainly, and also converse with us in Twitter too, but also Instagram. Yeah. Definitely Instagram as well.
Yeah. Okay, so you guys are Facebookians. Facebookers.
Is that a word?
You're trying to be like you. Maybe. Yeah.
We're trying to reach a million.
Yeah, we're trying to reach a million you. I heard you got mad numbers, so we're trying to hit that. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I've got quite a few. Facebook is a bit of a different one because it used to be the platform for getting lots of viral videos, and now it is 10 times harder. So absolute shout out to anyone who's still making content for Facebook or any kind of platform, really, because you've got to really have the passion in it because the views aren't as easy to get now.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, this is really cool that you guys are still, like, We made the switch.
We've made the switch from red to blue. So.
Yeah. And it's kind of funny because it's working out. Our content's more long form, and I think that's where Facebook is going anyway. So we're kind of walking into there.
So are you guys all on camera?
No, it's me. I'm the face of it. They're behind the scenes. I'm the person that's the face of it, that has the knowledge, the know-how. I don't talk about comic books alone. I talk about TV shows, films that are comic book related, even anime as well.
Right. Well, I thought I would test you guys just really quickly. I've got a couple of Marvel theme tunes.
Uh-oh.
And I'm going to see if you can get them. So I'm going to play a few seconds from the theme tune.
Okay.
And then you guys...
This is all you, Michael.
So shout out.
No pressure yet? Okay, cool.
Shout out if you think you know it.
Okay.
Here we go. That should be playing. Okay, here we go.
Thor Ragnarok.
Yes! Well done.
Yo, that's a real comic consultant, B.
Okay, well done, Thor Ragnarok. Okay, all right. Number two. It's coming up. We've got to wait for the song to finish.
Is that sound like Avengers?
No,
Iron Man. It is. Yeah. Oh, it's Iron Man.
Are you on fire right now?
Oh my God.
Let them know what you want.
Okay. Right, we got to wrap it up. But can you get the third and final theme tune?
You're going to be free for free, Michael. I believe in you.
Ant-Man.
Yes!
Boom! Bye!
Oh, thanks, y'all.
Anytime, yay! You know what time it is.
Oh, guys, I wish I literally had 24 of those, so you guys have actually got out of having to go through 24 theme songs. But, guys, it's been great. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Grow and chill with Noel Clark and Johanna James on FUBAR Radio.
Boom.
We're back in the room.
Double guest.
Twins. You're our first twins on the show.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Woo. Well, yeah. Usually it would be my fantasy. They're very good. Not my type, guys. But good looking nonetheless.
Totally my type, my fantasy. Okay.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks for coming, bro.
Do you want to introduce yourself to our listeners? Because you're both actors and you've both been in things like Peaky Blinders.
Yes.
You've got a new film that you're promoting.
Yeah, so I'm Matthew Postlethwaite. I play Remus in The White King that comes out tonight.
And I'm Jeffrey Postlethwaite. I play Romulus Afrunza.
For anyone who doesn't know what that is about, if you want to just pitch the film.
It's kind of like a dystopia, futuristic, really gritty drama. Very drama heavy, which is perfect.
So it's based on a Hungarian novel, is that right?
Yes, it is. We actually filmed it in Budapest as well.
Wow.
Yes.
Is this a famous Hungarian novel? Is this like well known?
It is. Yeah, it's won loads of awards in his country. Yeah. Then there was a transcript which got translated into English. Yeah. Then it landed
on 20 different languages. It's in at the moment.
Yeah, and it landed on the top of these directors' table. It's this husband and wife duo. They both directed it, which is really interesting, Jorg and Alex. Jorg actually stayed more behind the camera. Alex was with the actors. So it was
interesting
to see the
dynamic. Yeah.
Then they turned it into a screenplay. Then we shot it in Hungary, Budapest, yeah.
We were actually in Budapest for 3 weeks, wasn't it?
We were, yeah. Nice. The whole film was about 3 months.
No, I think it was a bit less than that, yeah. Maybe 2 months, let's say 2 months.
That's not bad, though. Like,
decent,
know.
Yeah.
Three weeks. Have you guys ever been to Budapest before?
No, and actually when we got there, we had 3 days where we could just explore the city and just
that's rare.
Around,
yeah. Went to all the baths. Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah.
It's Alex Helfricht and Jorg Tittel.
Correct.
Husband and wife, eh?
Yeah, husband and wife duo.
Okay.
Was that a bit like sort of having, you know, how you play parents off the other? Be like, well, she said.
Did you ever just do your own thing, like your own performance, and then be like, well, yeah, Jorg said I could do what the fuck I want.
Right, yeah, no, we should have utilised it more. But it was interesting to see their dynamic and our dynamic as well, because this was the first film that we've done together. So it was interesting to go back to our roots and play twins again.
Where are you guys from?
The Lake District originally, but we've been living in LA for about 3 or 4 years, kind of on and off. Same with our working papers, we've been doing that recently as well.
Yeah. But you've adopted the accent.
I have, no, but in switch back. I was talking to my friend in America, and as soon as people are American, I'm like,
you just switch back. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're kind of a bit more chill. You're like,
yeah, I am. Yeah, I'm from the north of England. So I'm kind of like,
yeah,
everyone's going,
yeah, mate, all right. Yeah, great.
So, who got into acting first? Has one sort of got in and brought the other, or did you both go in together? Or?
It was actually me that got in first, Matthew. I just
to specify, you know, it was
just
Matthew.
The he's like The Rock now. Matthew's like The Rock now. He's like, The Rock says, it was me, Matthew.
Yeah. I ended up doing a commercial. I was at university, we were studying business studies.
Oh, wow. So, quite late, eh?
Yeah.
It really was. Yeah, we always wanted to be actors, but coming from the Lake District, Cumbria, there wasn't that many avenues other than like your plays and stuff, which we did a few, but then we quickly moved over as soon as we went to uni.
So you guys are what, 20 what now?
25.
So you've only been doing this, what, like 3 years maybe?
Oh, like 7, 8.
Hold on, he said university though.
Yeah, 18. I was 18. 7 years.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. You guys have done so well, huh?
Yeah,
you must
that's
be really
high.
Proud. How's mum and dad from the Lake District? How they must be well.
They love it. They're actually down tonight.
They're not getting into acting too, are they?
Whole family.
Well, my mom, she watches it and she's like, I can do that.
Yeah. It's funny when we always have a script as well and we're not rehearsing with each other. She's like, I'll rehearse with you. Yeah, so she goes to read the lines and she's like,
terrible.
It's like, no, the castle on the hill.
She goes for it. She really goes for it.
That's good, though. That's good. And your characters in the films, in The White King, obviously your brothers, I'm assuming you're close, I don't know, but your brothers, in the film, are your characters, I'm assuming, are twin brothers too?
Yes.
Are they always together, or is there a sort of separation thing here without giving too much away?
Actually, no, in the film they're always together, aren't they?
Yeah.
They are kind of these bad characters. We always seem to play bad characters for some reason. It's like bad is not like bad characters, but bad is like evil guys.
It's so different to who we are, though, as people. I think
that's what they all say. We're not really super villains. No, that's what they all say.
And how did Peaky Blinders come about?
I was in final year of university this time when we first got cast in that.
Yeah, Peaky Blinders is set on an actual story, and most of the characters are real. There was actually twins, Nipper and Henry, in the actual Peaky Blinders gang, so they needed twins to be cast. So I remember when we went for the audition, it was Otto Bathurst that was there.
He actually won the BAFTA for it.
Yeah, we literally... Yeah. Our first audition was with the director and producers into this room. To be fair, we were still quite new to the industry. So we just went in, oh, this is how it normally is. Somewhere different. But yeah, from there we got cast. It was such an incredible experience, it really was.
I can imagine. Great, great show. You guys must have absolutely loved it.
Yeah, like Cillian Murphy and Helen McCrory just to be around. And
of course,
Sam
yeah.
Sam Neill is just incredible. We learned a lot from that show.
You can only ever learn, though, with those guys, eh?
Exactly. Yeah.
It's just an amazing experience, yeah. I know Helen McCrory as well.
Helen McCrory is phenomenal.
She's great. She's in 4321.
Really?
She's in my film 4321. I directed with. She plays Emma Roberts' mother.
Oh yeah!
Nice. There you go. Connected.
There you go. Yeah.
Oh yeah! Everyone, it gets smaller and smaller.
Yeah, it does, man. That's awesome. What's next for you guys?
You fly back out to LA. Pilot season. That whole crazy fun thing.
Yeah.
He's actually flying back 20 hours after me.
What was the reason for that?
We just didn't end up. We talk about loads of things, but we just
like, know. Each other.
Yeah. Well, you got the twin thing.
We talk about work, but we don't talk about how we're traveling.
Do you guys live together in LA?
No, we don't. No.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah. Okay.
Too much.
Independent twin. That's cool.
Yeah.
You guys are doing so well, so I don't want to give you any old man patronizing. One thing I've learned is always create. Because, you know, sitting there waiting for the phone to ring, you never know what's going to happen. And had I not created my own stuff, we wouldn't have the greatest British trilogy of all time.
There you go.
One of the only British trilogy. But you get my point now.
Yeah,
you know, it's always create and do your own thing, man. It's important.
Are you related to the great Pete Postle?
We are distantly. It's been asked a lot in interviews.
Yeah, it's such an unusual name.
No, it's not my father. My dad has told us how we're related. I'm still waiting for the family tree to come back.
I think it definitely runs in the blood somewhere.
Because the name is a
Have you met him?
I didn't meet him. My father met him, though.
Yeah, we did.
Oh, your dad hasn't met him?
He had met him, yeah. But I wish I didn't get the chance to meet him.
Well, thank you so much for being, like, the first official twins that we've had.
Thank you very much for having me.
You should see the next ones I'm inviting. You guys might want to come back.
Yeah, we'll be back.
Twins on twins.
Back Row and Chill with Noel Clark and Johanna James on FUBAR Radio.
Pastel Ascot on the phone. Percy, are you with us?
Yo!
Thank you for coming on the show.
That's cool, man. Thanks for having me.
Now, for people who don't know who you are an actor and also one half of the Waller Comedy Empire. Let's say empire now, because it's more than just a Facebook page. It is an empire.
Thank you. Yeah, we're trying.
Which is crazy. And, well, you guys are always, you're busy. You're always in and out of the country doing everything. I'm kind of hard to place where you are most of the time. Run me through what you've been up to, because this year is going to be so big for you.
Oh, mate, where do I start? So, currently, I've just finished doing a series on Netflix, and that is called The Innocents.
Yeah. Okay, that's good. So, The Innocents, what is that about?
Wow, okay, so The Innocents, it's about June's character, so June and Harry, and they are together, they're teenagers, they live in Yorkshire, and they run away from their oppressive families to be together.
Ooh.
So they run away to London.
Romeo and Juliet.
And a bit like Romeo and Juliet, and they're derailed by, like, an extraordinary discovery that June has the ability to shapeshift. And so these two lovers, they struggle to keep their innocent dream alive. And then we've got like a mysterious professor who promises to cure June and reunite her with her mum. And then Harry is going through his past experiences with his family and his dad. So ultimately, it's a story about family. It's about love. And on top of all of that, we've got this ability to shapeshift, which is a curse. So they can't actually control how to shapeshift, stuck in someone's body.
You play Harry, obviously, like the lead
and
guy.
I play Harry.
The lead guy. And so it's set in London, but where did you shoot it? Did you shoot it in London, in Yorkshire?
Well, yeah, I mean, we did it in Yorkshire. So it was in Yorkshire for, like, say, a couple of months, I think maybe about three. And then we were in Norway for a long period of time.
Cold,
so
right?
I got to see, got to see the lights and stuff, the Northern Lights, and just spent some time there. And then we was in my hometown, London, which was quite cool because certain locations, I was like, hang on a minute, I've been here before. Oh, yeah, it was that night out I went on.
And now I'm filming here for a Netflix show. Oh, my God. Pinch me. Pinch me, babe. So what was the audition process like? Because what you are doing is really inspirational because you are one of very few people who have managed to go from the internet to, like, Hollywood. You're, like, bridging that gap, which is amazing because you're, like, cranking open the door and that's kind of the hope of, that's the dream of everybody who does stuff on the internet, isn't it? They're like, what if we could? So you're, like, one of the first ones through. Amazing. So what was it like auditioning?
It was a really tough experience. I can't lie to you, you know, like, even to any actors who are listening, like, I went through 10 auditions and it was over a time frame of, say, like, 3-4 months maybe.
Oh my God.
So you know that feeling you get, you know, when you're auditioning and you're like, okay, cool, this is the one, I just nailed that audition, and then to know that there's another one and another one. So if anything, like, I just took everything with a pinch of salt and I just went into each room and I just said to myself, you know what, let me just do what I can do, and that's it really, and just keep my head up. And fortunately enough, fingers and toes crossed, I got the role. So that was amazing. Plus, obviously, working, you know, the wall of comedy and doing what we're doing there, it's nice to kind of merge the two worlds together in terms of, you know, being a social platform and running that, producing content. And then now I'm, like, working with Netflix, which also are doing what we want to do. So it's also nice to be in the Netflix engine and family and just kind of, like, get to see what the secrets are.
Yeah, oh my gosh, you can tell us the secrets of the Netflix. I mean, maybe you can tell me off air, just like totally link me up with that. And where were you when you found out you got the role? Because that's always like a bit of a life-changing moment. Do you remember where
that was?
You like on the toilet incredible. Or like, what were you doing?
I wish I was in the toilet now. I mean, that would be a better story. So I went to a rehearsed reading for a different show. Yeah, so I went there and in the back of my head, I was like, okay, anytime soon I'm going to hear back from Netflix. We do the, you know, the first act of this rehearsed reading, and then I get a call from my agent, and I'm like, okay. So we have a break in the rehearsed reading, and I pick up the phone, speak to my agent, and it's that moment that they tell you the news, and your heart's just beating out of your chest, and you can't contain yourself. And I was literally in the corner of this room with like 30 other people watching me going crazy, and then I had to like calm myself down, get composure, and get back to my seat and just continue with that rehearsed reading. But I just remember calling my mum as soon as I left that venue and calling all my friends and family who were supporting me and just like going, we did it, we made it, got the role.
Mum, I've made it, I'm on Netflix. That's mental. And so with like the Wall of Comedy, so if anyone's listening and you want to check out like what is that, so it started off with Mandem on the Wall and you were doing like, was it YouTube sketches actually first?
We would look at them like episodes. So we actually were trying to do a TV show, but just on YouTube, because we were doing that because we felt as though there weren't enough TV shows that had the references that we wanted to see.
Yeah.
So we just thought, you know what, let's just make it ourselves. We got a camera, got some dodgy sound, and just made it happen.
But you guys are actually so ahead of your time, because now, like a few years later, the internet is turning towards episodic content. Platforms are wanting people to make episodes of characters and things, so you guys were like way ahead.
But I feel
of the
like
game.
It's more like a cycle thing. I feel like it's like a full circle, because even before us, we had like guys called Shabrak and the Mandem. There was Jazzy, Hamza, HBZ. So all of these guys that were doing content before us, they were already kind of setting that blueprint. And if anything, I feel like we've gone to that place where with content, it was like bite sized, like a minute to 2 minutes, and now audiences want to see like longer form. So if anything, it's just about like, I guess, adapting with the times and just trying to like basically evolve with what's going on. And hopefully, you know, people keep enjoying what we do.
For sure. So that's what you've done. This is what you're doing. What in the future? Yeah. Like, can you give us any kind of little insights into what you're up to or what you're auditioning for? What's going on in the industry?
All the secrets. Yeah, all the secrets. I can tell you more about the world of comedy, and we're just looking to keep pushing the platform. You know, our biggest dream was to create a network in which would employ talent in front of the camera and behind the camera. Mm-hmm. And we're going to continue to do that. We're going to continue to try and be a revolution within the whole TV and, you know, film department. So we're going to keep creating content. We're going to build our own platform in which maybe people can subscribe to.
Yeah.
And you basically model around Netflix. And we've got content that we're going to make in America now. So we've got some stuff set over there. We want to work with more talent and just basically amplify everything we're doing currently. Yeah. And to take it to a bigger level. And then with acting, as well as the Netflix project I've got going on, we did this thing called Sharrow Story, which is on yes. YouTube, and we did part one of this, which is like a musically narrated short film, which did, I think, maybe about 2 million hits within a week. So,
and that was on YouTube, isn't it?
Hits. Yeah, that's
because that's hard.
Yeah,
if you get a million hits on YouTube, that's like gold. Like, whoa.
Yo, we was like, this is, yeah, that was incredible. So we're looking to do part two, shooting it very soon. So hopefully, yeah. You know, we can kind of get the same results there. But we're just going to keep creating. We're just going to keep having fun and keep creating.
I love it. I just wanted to also shout out again, because we've got people who are listening to the show who maybe want to get involved. And one thing that you guys do at Wall of Comedy really well is that you get people involved. So your chat nights, what's it called? Chit chat?
Yeah, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, you have nights where you get people who want to be, who are interested in the industry or already work in the industry, and it's like genuine networking.
Exactly. Yeah, I guess like the big thing with us is that ultimately, end of the day, we would like to create like the solution to the problem. So if we can create a night called Chit Chat in which we can invite down people in front of the camera, behind the camera, and just basically help facilitate people meeting, and hopefully people can work together. So we do that once a month down at our office or at a venue within Shoreditch or Old Street, and just, yeah, like, we just have fun with it and get some, which is really cool. We get people to come and we interview people who have been in the industry.
Yeah, for sure.
And, in fact, I need to get you down for the next one.
Oh, thank you.
I'm going to make that happen.
Oh, for sure. I came down to one of the last ones, and it was so good. I met some people that I, because they were some creators who were actually based in Birmingham, like Sideman and T1 Official, and, like, we connected at that. And we're like, we should make some content together. So we've been working on content, and I would never have probably cross paths with them if it wasn't for your event. So I'm like, yeah. So people can go and check out Wall of Comedy and like Instagram and Facebook, and they can find out where all these things are and get involved.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Get involved. Check out our Instagram at the Wall of Comedy, Facebook, the Wall of Comedy. Find any of the like latest version of what we're doing.
All the stuff that's going out. Oh well, Percy, thank you so much for speaking with us. And The Innocents on Netflix. Thank you much.
Thank you.
Ta-ra-la.
Back Row and Chill with Noel Clark and Johanna James on FUBAR Radio.
Welcome, we've got our next guest in the studio.
Hello.
So welcome, welcome, welcome. I don't want to mispronounce your last name, but it's Adjura, I want to go Onoshale.
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 I've got a name, people mispronounce my name all the time. Johanna James, but people are like, Johanna?
So hold on, so pronounce your full name again for me.
Adjura Onoshale.
Adjura Onoshale. Woo! That's a queen's name, right?
I know, man.
You know what I mean? That's a queen's name. I'm not even playing. That's a queen's name. I'm about to leave my missus out here. Onoshale. Woo!
The power of a name.
All right, so tell us about yourself, eh?
So I'm here because I've got a show on that I wrote and directed.
Some theatre.
Some theatre, darling. Mm-hmm. As part of Africa Utopia at the South Bank Centre. Mm-hmm. And it's called Expensive Shit. And it's about toilet attendants.
Wow.
The name is to do with the actual piece, but also it's based in two toilets, one in the Shrine Nightclub in Lagos. Shrine Nightclub was Fela Kuti's club when he was alive. Fela Kuti, yeah?
Yes.
And the second set of toilets is in a club called The Shimmy in Glasgow, where a story broke in 2013 about a two-way mirror in the girls' toilets, and men could pay to go and sit in a room, £800 per night, sit in a room and watch the girls' toilets without a girl's knowing. So all I've done...
That's real?
Yeah, it's real.
And Noel's like, where is
Arnie,
this?
Arnie, that sounds real. That's terrible. Give me the address to this place so I can complain about this. This is awful. Just give me text me the postcode. Arnie, we got to go down there and stop this nonsense.
Yeah, we've got to go down and tell them to stop.
So is it the same character that goes Nigeria
To
Glasgow?
Yeah, basically. So she's an older woman in Glasgow, and she's a toilet attendant, but her past is as wannabe dancer in Fela Kuti's banned in the 90s in Nigeria.
So this is a true story?
Well, it's based on true facts, but, you know, I've gone creative license. Yes.
And you wrote it yourself?
Yeah, I did.
And you star in it?
No, I've got four actresses. Yeah, four. It's a four-hander.
Okay.
Yeah, so they all dance, switch accents, switch locations. So
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
You know, this sounds amazing, and I would love to see it. I have a question for you, though. As a black woman, writing and directing, has it been a challenge to get to where you've got? Do you look at people like Amara Asante and kind of go, man, that's kind of my inspiration? Or
you got to make your own work.
Yeah.
Because nobody's going to give it to you.
That's what I'm talking about.
Do you know
about
what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the reality.
Yeah.
I was first an actress and, you know, I thought I was all right, but I just wasn't getting the parts.
Yeah.
I knew that if I wanted to create my own work, I had to go for it.
Yeah.
So,
amazing.
Yeah, that's what I did.
That's amazing. You hear that, guys? Congrats. You hear that, guys?
You've just got to go for it. You've just got to go
for it.
You can't wait for people to
write your own stuff.
Yeah, write it.
I was scared.
Right. Like Arnold's like letting off gas in the corner.
It's like I'm saying congratulations.
He's nervous. He's in the presence of a queen.
Yeah, I'm nervous.
The queen is here.
But she says the name
again. Royal Highness.
That's great. So you wrote, yeah, because I used to be so scared of writing because I thought being a writer was some sort of like far off high. But then I was like, no, I've got some ideas, I've got some stories and ideas, and I'm just going to scribble that down. So how did you start going?
Did anyone encourage your writing?
I think Schmoll Schmark did. Yeah.
Oh, right, okay, sorry.
That's good because I think that's part of it as well, as having people around you who can help you and inspire you and support you as you're writing. But I think theatre needs different voices, so it's not about getting it right. There's no right way of writing. It's just a voice, and every voice is original, so just put it on paper. Absolutely, that's
fantastic.
And how long is the show? Is it?
It's 55 minutes, crammed 55 minutes. I don't like like to bore audiences, so there's a lot going on. And the whole point of the festival is to celebrate the fact that Africa can lead the way in terms of like technology, gender, art, film, all these things. Because, you know, Africa gets a bad press generally.
Yeah.
And so it's just highlighting all the different things that the continent leads on. So there's lots of arts exhibition, there's dance, there's music, the Cape Town Opera is there are fashion shows. It's really exciting.
Yeah.
Previously to this show, is this like your debut show or have you had?
I wrote another show actually about a woman called Henrietta Lacks. You heard this story?
Mm.
The first cells to be kept alive outside the body were from a black woman in Baltimore, except nobody asked her.
100
in the 1950s. Exactly.
Yeah.
And her family found out in the 1990s, by which point her cells were in 90% of labs in the world. They'd been bought and sold and bought and sold and bought and sold. The birth of the pharmaceutical industry was based on her cells. The woman didn't know and her family didn't know. So I read this brilliant book called The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks, which you can get, and I was just furious, man.
Yeah.
I was furious that I didn't know about this woman who's affected all our lives. If you've taken a pill stronger than an aspirin, you owe it to her.
Because of the fact that her cells survived.
Yeah, and also they tested all sorts of things on her cells because they were the first human cells that you could test stuff on.
That's amazing. Like.
So Oprah's doing a film.
That's what I was going to say. Like, are you writing the film script or anything like
Wouldn't that be great?
Have they worked out why her cells survived?
Well, I think it's because they were cancerous cells, right? But nobody really knows. And that's why her family thinks there's, like, spiritual dimension to it.
Yeah.
Like, that she was pissed off with the way that they treated her.
Yeah.
Because the cells were like, back.
Because it was during Jim Crow and she would have gone into a coloured hospital and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Speech marks on coloured, right? And so they feel like it's her cells kind of going, I'm going to...
If I can have them immortal cells, I'll have some of them sort of, you know.
Yeah, immortal cell pill.
That's amazing. Well, that's an amazing story. And obviously, it'd be interesting. Hopefully, they don't Americanize the story too much. And
that's the thing, isn't it?
Hollywood it too much.
You know what I mean?
And would you ever think about a film of your show or a TV show?
Actually, I have been approached. And it's interesting because I don't know how sexy toilet attendants are.
I know a few that are not bad, you know.
Well, that's sexy.
Yeah, not bad, you know.
I've seen a few uncles in there.
Strong women.
It's funny because, like, male toilet attendants tend to be younger than female ones.
Interesting.
Yeah, not that I've seen that many, and I'm hung around in boys' toilets that much.
You know that.
But when I see them, they seem to be younger to me. They seem to be, like, you can get guys, like, in their 20s, early 30s, right?
But women are generally like...
That's because you guys are smarter than us and you've had your career and then you're chilling and like, I'll be a toilet attendant. The young guys are whatless and they're like, you know what? I'm lazy. I'm not going to go to the toilet.
The guys, they look older, so I don't know if it's the toilet smell aging them.
Oh, man. Can you think of a worse job? I can't think of a worse job.
I can think of a few worse jobs than that.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
I don't know what worse.
Not at the moment.
Shit shoveler.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah,
although they do have to do a lot, some of that.
I don't know, you know.
No.
I think there's separate cleaners that come in. And the attendants are the ones that spray you with the tea and give you the towel. Yeah,
yeah. Do you know what I didn't realise? They don't get paid. What?
No, they take the tips.
They take the tips.
They live purely for the 8 hours that during the club. They just get tips.
I thought that was
the
basic.
No. But what they've started doing is they get paid as cleaners in the day, and then they just stay through the night.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's all on tips. Mm.
But it's a cool subject because everyone's been to the toilet within a... Like, everyone knows...
I've
never been to the toilet in either.
Everyone's been to the door and everyone's met an attendee. They've all got an attendee story or like, you know, especially when you get a really nice one, you know, you're just like, oh, I really needed a temple.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, they got eight in the girls' one, mate.
One time I needed one.
It's like a boot. Listen,
that's a long story that I won't even go into,
Back row and chill with Noel Clark and Johanna James on FUBAR Radio.
This is Max Castella.
Yeah, I'm right here.
Yay!
Hi!
When I was in The Lion King, which I was in the original company.
Oh, wow.
And
cool.
I played Timon, and I have the Timon puppet on. Everyone's mic'd up. And puppet broke in the middle of my singing Hakuna Matata.
Oh, my God, no.
And it was in the middle of a matinee with a bunch of children.
Oh, no.
And it was hurting me so bad. I finally made it through the number. I got off stage. And before they could turn my mic down, I just said, get this fucking thing off me. It went out to the entire audience.
All the kids! Oh my God, you've heard the best story.
Yeah. They still talk about that one.
I think it's even better because it's like a Disney play that made the story even better.
Back row and chill with Noel Clark and Johanna James on FUBAR Radio.
That was a soundbite from the new documentary, Who's Gonna Love Me Now? And we have the co-director and producer of that documentary in the studio, Alexander Bowden-Safir.
That's how you pronounce it, yeah.
Yes. I just say with confidence something and hope it's right.
I just go, hey, man. I'm just like, yo, bro. I mean, this is powerful stuff. Let me just say something to the listeners, because obviously our show probably has a certain demographic that may think, oh, man, documentary, oh, gay people and all that. And let's not lie, that's kind of the demographic of this show. You know, I think people that do listen to this show that hopefully I and Johanna have educated, you know, these are things you need to watch. These are things you have to go and see, you know, to educate yourself about the world and about life and about what people go through. So, you know, I'm going to hand over to you for you to say more, but I just want you guys to, you know, take things seriously. You know, we put things on this show so that, you know, everyone that emails in says, I want to get into film, I want to do this. You're understanding that there's many complexities and many things in film and documentary and life, and this is why you're here to learn. Over to you.
And actually, you know what? I mean, oh, gay films, oh, documentary. That was me not so long ago. And I swore I'd never make a documentary film. I never anticipated I'd make anything.
Tell us what it's about.
Yeah, just the premise of...
Yeah, tell us what it's about for the listeners before, and then tell us that story there, because I think I really want them to understand what this is about.
It's about life. It's about the pursuit of finding a family and finding a home. It's about a Israeli man who's gay and HIV positive and is thrown out from his family because of his sexuality. And he comes to London and he discovers a life that he never knew existed, and he joins the London Gay Men's Chorus.
Yeah.
And if you're going to find a family that's going to accept you, there is no better family than the Gay Men's Chorus. And then the universe threw him a curveball, as the universe sometimes does, and the opportunity to reconcile with a family that he really thought he would never see again. And our film is 5 years following that kind of reconciliation process, or not reconciliation, you know. You talk about gay film, you talk about documentary, this... For me, it's not a gay film. This is a film.
Yeah.
This is a story.
No, 100%. And I'm just talking from the way some of our listeners would respond.
I'm a straight man who fell in love with this story. I didn't expect to that at all.
Yeah.
What happened was some friends of mine said, look, we want some help making a film. We got this guy. We want you to meet him. We want you to do a bit of filming. Just a couple of days. And I said, I'm working on a feature film. I'm writing something. I don't have time. And they said, look, half an hour for a drink.
Yeah.
And when you see this film, you'll understand that half an hour with Saar, the lead character, turned into 3 hours.
I can imagine.
I didn't want to leave. He had to throw me out. And it's just because he's captivating and his story is just so engrossing. And it's not a gay story. I mean, it has gay elements in it, but I mean, it is a universal story about family, about belonging, and something I think that everybody can relate to. It's one of the reasons why the BFI became involved.
It is, but it's about family essentially. And regardless of who or what you are, you know, it's about how your family can react to your choices and your lifestyle. It's very interesting, especially his brother. I was really surprised by his brother.
Listen, I mean, that family is phenomenal. And the other thing that I think is really important is dialogue and communication. Mm-hmm. And that's something that, you know, these guys have all got very, very different perspectives on life, and they don't always agree. But the fact that they can talk, the fact that they can actually have these conversations and put their points across and listen to each other. And it's not just waiting to talk, it's actually really listening to each other.
But that took a moment in itself. You know, there was the, you know, there are moments in there when he says, you know, you didn't even know I was sick. And then says, I didn't even want to tell you because you don't listen. In the span of time, those conversations start happening, you know, where the brother and the wife come and say, look, we need to tell you something. And you think, OK, well, that's progress. Because before, you weren't saying anything. You were just talking at him angrily whenever he turned up.
And that's 5 years worth of journey condensed into 84 minutes.
You filmed over 5 years? Or?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That's why I love documentaries.
Yeah.
That's a dying art. That long form documentary is something that doesn't happen so often because the funding's not there for it.
That's right. So, guys, that is Who's Gonna Love Me Now? Make sure you guys see it. It is very, very powerful. It is an amazing story, and I loved it, and you will love it. And there's some good music, too.
Back Row and Chill with Noel Clark and Johanna James on FUBAR Radio.